Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a premier law firm located in Northern Virginia, serving the entire DC metro area, always at your side. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com or call us for an appointment at 703-218-2100. And by the way, the firm is moving to Reston, to 1775 Wheely Avenue in Reston, on August the 24th, so stay tuned for future announcements about that exciting new move. Blueprint for Wealth is a column in the Washington Business Journal, which I invite you to read every month, and it is also a blog at blueprintforwealth.org, where I have audio, video, and articles of interest on estate and business planning topics of interest. So make sure that you tune into the blog and subscribe to the blog if you want to get periodic emails about updated content. Now, I've talked about this issue many times before, but I'm finding that it's of very great interest to my corporate clients, my LLC clients, my business clients, who are trying to incentivize individual employees, particularly executives, in this realm of uncertainty today. And what I'm referring to is phantom stock. It's a tool that has languished in obscurity in public companies, but is showing signs of emerging. And I can attest to that by virtue of the amount of work I'm doing in this area for my various clients. What is phantom stock? Well, the basic concept of phantom stock involves the company's agreement or promise to pay a recipient of an award an amount equal to the value of a certain number or a percentage of shares of the company's stock. You're not actually giving shares to the employee or to the recipient. You're giving them a percentage or an equivalent to those shares. It's commonly structured through an award of units. Phantom stock programs enable a company to make an award that tracks the economic benefits of stock ownership without using actual shares. So phantom stock is a contractual right. It is not an interest in property like stock. The tax event for an executive and the employer occurs when a payment is made under a properly designed phantom stock arrangement. Phantom stock plans are shadows that mimic their real equity counterparts. Phantom stock and shadow stock are also terms that are describing basically the same thing. Although shares of real stock can be traded at will in a public company, they may not be tradable in a private company. And phantom shares or phantom units only have value when certain events described under the phantom stock plan or in the phantom stock agreement or vesting conditions are met. The plan typically doesn't require investment by the individual recipient, but it also does not give ownership in the company. So the recipient does not have any voting rights relating to the business. It's essentially an opportunity to participate in the upside of the business. So participants' or recipients' investments are limited to their services. They can gain from upside growth in the company. When you have a phantom stock plan for your company, in making an award, there's a determination of the value of the phantom unit associated with the equivalent shares of stock. Valuations may be needed for periodic reporting to participants, whether it's under Securities and Exchange Commission laws, if it's a publicly traded company, or for purposes of the tax code. Phantom stock programs can be designed to be very simple, but they should be created to meet the company's needs and objectives in protecting the knowledge and skill base that's represented by the key employees who are selected to participate in awards of phantom stock. There are two kinds of awards of phantom stock, what I would refer to as appreciation-only phantom stock and full value plans. Appreciation only says that the employee participant is able to participate in the upside growth of the company from the date of employment going forward. So any value that may have been created before that, we'll call it a base value, goes to either the owners of the company or any other phantom stock awardees who participated in the growth of the company before the date of the award. So you get to participate in the upside from that you help create, essentially. A full value plan, on the other hand, basically says that you get the underlying value of one unit and its equivalent, maybe, to one share of stock, depending on how we define a unit. Generally, phantom stock plans or the agreements spell out how the program operates and how payments are going to be determined, along with various other details. These details might include the eligibility to participate in the plan, what the vesting schedule is, meaning that how long do you have to work for the company before you're entitled to the benefit of the phantom units. Is there a valuation method that the company employer is using to value the phantom units, or a formula? And on what settlement events, what events will the phantom stock pay out to the employee? To avoid the application of the IRS rules under Section 409 Cap A, many of my clients choose to pay out on a phantom unit only when there's a change in control, say a sale of the business or sale of substantially all the assets. That way they don't have to worry about acceleration of any kind of income tax consequences before the change in control event. There are other safe harbors under these 409A rules, and we've talked about them on other shows, and we'll talk about them in the future. Other things that you look at in establishing a phantom stock plan is how to handle certain termination events, like retirement or death, disability, dismissal with or without cause, or resignation. You might have different payouts depending on how the person terminates their service with the company. You might also incorporate restrictive covenants, like the ability to prevent employees from walking away with your customers, or walking away with business, or walking away with other employees. How will payments be made, and when will they be made? And of course, what happens when there is a sale of the company? One of the key challenges of using phantom stock is the accounting treatment associated with it. Historically, phantom plans are viewed as undesirable, at least from an accounting perspective, because there is a resulting liability associated with using the plan. When you have phantom stock, what we call variable accounting applies, which creates volatility on the company's income statement. And it's something that concerns a lot of chief financial officers. So for financial accounting purposes, phantom shares are treated as an expense over the service period that the individual earns the phantom shares. And the company does not receive any income tax deduction until the benefits are paid out. What that means is, for financial reporting purposes, you have a compensation type expense. It reduces your income. And so from the banks and other investors' perspective, your income doesn't look as good as it would if you didn't use the phantom stock. For income tax purposes, on the other hand, the company can't claim a tax deduction until it actually pays out on the phantom shares. Another challenge in using phantom stock plans is coming up with the cash to pay phantom payments. Now, if you only pay out on a change in control of the company, it may not be that tricky. But if you're paying out employees on retirement or on termination from service prior to the sale of the company, then there are various restrictions you have to be aware of under the tax rules, and you've got to make sure that you've got enough cash set aside to make these payments. Phantom stock can help in getting an executive team to think and act like equity partners. It creates a sense of ownership in the success of the business. The concept of being a partner by having phantom stock may create the same feeling of connection as with more traditional equity tools like stock options and restricted stock. In addition to its incentive components, a phantom stock plan involves deferred compensation and can act like a golden handcuff in retaining key executives. Phantom stock most often is used by privately held companies. But some publicly traded companies are using it and similar cash-based long-term incentives today as well. It can be especially useful in providing economic benefits of equity without diluting shareholder value or power. Because recipients of phantom units do not have any voting rights, the company can issue these units without altering the governance structure of the company or worrying about diluting the shareholders. While phantom stock does not dilute the value of the real outstanding shares directly, the awards do have a significant effect on cash flow when they're paid out. That's why some plans have a conversion feature and might actually pay out in stock or even stock options. Another advantage to the company is the ability to design an award so that the executive receives no benefit unless certain vesting conditions are met. These might be time-based vesting, that they have to work for the company for a specific period of time before they earn it, or it might be performance-based vesting. Other approaches include using formulas such as those based on revenue or EBITDA or net income to come up with a value of the company. If you'd like more information on implementing a phantom stock plan for your company, give us a call at 703-218-2100 or email us at radio@ofplaw.com if you've got any questions. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.